Sahayavya praja shrishma purovacha prajapati anena prasa vishadvam eshavosha ishtakamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Please repeat a nice, nice phrase. In the beginning of creation,
in the beginning of creation,
the Lord of all creatures,
sent forth generations,
men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy,
by this yajna
sacrifice, because its performance,
will
bestow upon you,
everything desirable,
for living happily, and achieving liberation. So I'll read something to you from Srila Prabhupada's purport. The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. This is the purpose of the material creation. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there's two purposes, actually. He says one purpose is a reformation of the conditioned souls to deliver everyone. He says, but that's an external thing. So the actual purpose is to provide a place for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And what kind of place is this for their pastimes? The noisy streets of Gurgaon at night. He says that, Krishna says, just like if you light a candle in the middle of the day, you don't notice it. There's no beauty to it. But if you light a candle in a dark room, it looks so beautiful. If you take a diamond and you put it on a silver plate, you don't even see the diamond. But if you put the diamond on a piece of black velvet, then the diamond looks very nice. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes look more beautiful with the backdrop of this dark material world behind them. And that's the real purpose of material existence. But one purpose is it's a chance for all the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. That's the purpose of this world. Contrary to what they try to tell you, I don't mean to shock anyone, but the purpose of life is not just shopping. I mean, isn't that what they try to tell everyone, basically? Mm-hmm. Isn't it? And you work hard, but it's okay. You can go shopping. Mm-hmm. You can buy some great thing. But really, is that what life is all about? 100 years ago, 500 years ago, people weren't shopping like that, but somehow they were going by, and perhaps they were happy. Perhaps they were even more happy than us. It's just this act of shopping and living to be a consumer, which is what the World Bank and other big corporations are training us to do. Does that really make us happy?
No.
That's not the purpose of life. So many people, and frankly, want to come to Gurgaon. You've heard it's a better life. don't be offended by me saying anything. But I know so many devotees here, so many people here, and I don't necessarily think it's a better life. I remember meeting sometimes some rickshaw wallers in Orissa, very poor people, who were so happy. One rickshaw waller once, he gave us a ride in Puri. And the whole way he was just singing songs about Jagannath. And he was so, such a very happy person. But he didn't have anything materially. He was just rendering humble service to everybody. But he had something in his heart. And really that's what Vedic culture, Indian culture, original culture is all about, is the quality of happiness. And if someone had that happiness because they were sadhu, they could walk in and see the king, and the king would bow down to him and give him respect. But today we just look at them, what kind of shoes do you have? Oh, not good shoes, go away. Not good clothes, not a wealthy person, go away. We judge them like that. And everyone's very sad, very agitated and disturbed. So Prabhupada once told the devotees, he said, don't be envious when you see someone who has something more than you and think, oh, maybe I could have had like that. Rather, we should feel sorry for people if they really think the purpose of life is just to be a shopper, just to buy things in the market. It's very, very sad. Buy in the shopping mall. Excuse me. A better name the market now than called the shopping mall. Prabhupada says, all living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. The Lord says, but the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him. In the Vedic hymns, it is said, Patim Visvasyatman Ishvaram. Therefore, the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also 2.4.20, Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. Shriya Pati Yagya Pati Prajapati. Diyam patir loka patir darapati patir gatis chandaka vrishni satvatam prasidatam me bhagavan satam pati. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and He is the Lord of all living entities, all worlds, and all beauties, and the protector of everyone. He is the real Pati. What else does the word pati mean in Hindi?
That's husband.
It means husband. And we see going on all over the world today. I see in the news in India, I see in America, the big scandal. So many big people, politicians, and news people, and actors, people are discovering that they're behaving in a very bad way with women, wanting to exploit them. And some people are saying, well, we should protect women more, like this, this. But they don't really have an answer. And the problem is, because in this culture today, people are just trained to treat women as objects. There's a nice word in English, a simple word, which is not so common, to objectify someone. If you objectify someone, it means that you're turning them into an object. You're taking away their personality. You're taking away the fact their soul. That girl has parents. She likes certain things. She gets sick sometimes. She doesn't like other things. She's a person. We objectify them. And we make everything impersonal. And because of that, everyone is suffering in this world. And in this world, people don't know what it means to be pati. Pati means someone who protects. But there's no culture for that today. And the Supreme Pati means Krishna. That we should worship Him and take shelter of Him. He can protect. And if people learn to worship Krishna, then there'll be some transformation of the heart. Whereas if we just try to tell people, be nice, don't do bad things, then maybe you'll say, okay, I don't do anything bad. You may be like the scorpion and the camel. Once there was a scorpion. They wanted to cross the river. And a camel came. And the scorpion said, "Brother camel, would you please give me a ride over the river?" And the camel said, "Do you think I'm stupid? If I carry you, you're going to sting me." And the scorpion said, "Brother camel, how can you speak like that about me? I'm a very ethical scorpion. I'm a very moral scorpion. I wouldn't do that to you." So the camel really wasn't such a bright fellow. Wasn't so intelligent. So he agreed. And he took the scorpion on his back. And they started going out across the river. And halfway across the river, suddenly, the scorpion stung the camel. And the camel said, "Why did you do that? Now we're both going to die." And the scorpion, he said, "What can I do? It's my nature. I can't change my nature." So sometimes you have someone saying, "I'm a very ethical person," and they have a little Gandhi hat. And they wear a dhoti and a kurta, and they say, "Vote for me." In Orissa, you see the politicians with pictures with Jagannath in their like this. "I'm a very pious person." And in Vrindavan, maybe you'll see their picture with, I don't know, Banka Bihari or something like that. Like a very, very ethical person. And they're very ethical, but you can't change their nature. And as soon as they get a chance, nobody's looking, they'll grab some woman in a very bad way. They'll take some money. They'll do this thing or that thing. Because really, there's no reason for them to be ethical. The only reason they should be ethical is so that you'll vote for them. Right? Or sometimes merchants, they say, "Brother, come to my shop. I've heard many of them, for you, I'll make no profit." They say like that. I mean, they're just telling you that. They seem like a very ethical person. But they're only being ethical to take your money. And similarly, we see this with teachers, with administrators, with so many persons. They have to act ethical to have their position. But as soon as they get a chance, their real nature takes over, like the scorpion. So we don't need systems of just trying to train people to fake something, to act like something that they're not. We need something that can actually fundamentally change the hearts of people. What we need in the world today is a revolution. We need a very powerful revolution. Not just a revolution where we give some money to the Hari Jans or something, or we give some better medical treatment or something to people. We help them make houses or something. That doesn't change people's nature. And what happens, I've heard, I don't know, the Japanese government, I heard, they gave so many crores and crores of rupees to build this highway, the Jamuna Expressway, and I heard that so much of the money disappeared. How did that happen? The people are taking it and they're putting it in their pocket. And they're putting on a show that we're very, very ethical, but they're not. So if you think about it for a moment, all the systems that we have in the world today to solve the problems here, they're all useless. They really don't work. We're going to give money to someone. We're going to do something with politics. I see so many people, and they have some rally, and they're making a huge amount of noise going through the street, and all these people are waving flags. I don't know about UP, but in Orissa, they're all people from the villages, and they pay them 100 rupees, 200 rupees to come from the village. They put them all in trucks, and they just wave flags. And I look at them, and what is this? It doesn't have any meaning. Sometimes we do programs, quite often, in some of the hotels in Puri, we have yatras, and devotees come. And some of those hotels, they have disco night. And sometimes just before our yatra, just the day after it, and we're subjected to that. And they make this horrible noise. Many blocks away, the buildings are shaking. The noise is so loud. And I go, what are they doing? And I go and I look, and there's three or four, don't mind me saying, fat, middle-aged men sitting and drinking too much alcohol. And they have some food or something there. And there's some young girl who has a smile kind of painted on her face. And she looks very sad. And she's on the stage and she's kind of, I don't know, dancing like this or something. And every so often I was watching. One of the drunk fellows tries to climb on the stage to grab her, and she has a smile. She's pushing him away. And like that. What kind of pleasure is that? It's really, really sick. There's no happiness there. We need a revolution in the world today. And that's what Srila Prabhupada visioned. He didn't only vision that we're going to give people Bhagavad Gita's, we're going to save people, chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada had another vision. Prabhupada wanted to create a revolution. But sometimes we don't see that. We don't see the urgency of that. Because we're just thinking of ourselves. Maybe we're thinking, I'm a devotee, and I like to go shopping also. And there's not so much of an urgency of things. So let's continue the purport. Prabhupada said, the Lord created this material world. What was the purpose of his creating this material world? The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajnas, sacrifices for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world, they can live very comfortably, without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body, they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. In the age of Kali, the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the names of God, is recommended by the Vedic scriptures, and this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna, in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya, is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 as follows, with special reference to the Sankirtan, Yajna Krishna Varnam Tushat Krishnam, Sango Pangarsha Parshadam, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayarya Jantihi Sumedasa. Quote, in this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, end of quote. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not so easy, not easy to perform in this age of Kali. But the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita also. So, it's a natural thing. Everyone wants to become happy. Sometimes we, as I said in America, we accept our lot. We accept our situation. We're resigned to it. Means that, what can I do? This is life. I have a job I don't like. I have to go to the job to pay for my car. I have my new car. I have to have the car so I can have the job. I have the job so that I can have new clothes to wear to my job. And so that I can pay for my house, which I never stay in because I'm always driving so far in my car to go to the job that I don't like. So I can pay for my clothes and my car and my house. What can I do? That's life. But it's not so bad. There's television. I can go to the movies. And I can pretend I'm someone else. And everything's okay. But really, I'm so miserable. And I have no idea what is the purpose of my existence. I have no idea how I can have happiness, how I can have peace. We don't get peace by watching television, by taking drugs, drinking alcohol, going to the discos, finding a wife that we don't really like so much, For a husband who's kind of a jerk and we just tolerate him. And the children are so very difficult, wanting so much from him. And is that the purpose of my life? We don't think about it. And many of us would just, anyway, what can I do? This is just my life. And I go on. In my car, I'm trying to pay for it, with the clothes I need to work for, the house I never live in, I'm trying to pay for it. I'm just working my job. And I die. And that's it with my life. But I should feel good because I'm a good consumer. I go shopping. People are suffering so bad. And some smart people in big corporations, they've discovered how to make slaves. Slavery is not a very popular thing in the world. We're very proud all over the world. We don't have slavery here. India is a very modern country. But is it true?
No.
So many people in Gurgaon, they have so many, I see they live in nice houses. And then there's some shacks right nearby where their servants come. And those people have no choice in their life. You could call them slaves. But not just them. What about the rest of us also? We have our car to go to our job, to pay for our clothes and pay for our house. And am I really free? I'm controlled. I have this little plastic car. And I can get money whenever I want. And I borrow things. And I never really even own my own life. So they figured out a very intelligent way to make slaves out of practically the whole world, making them into good little consumers. And they suffer so much, and they do things they don't like to do. They have miserable, terrible lives. And they never think about, what is the purpose of my existence? But it's okay, because I can go and I can buy a new pair of shoes, or a shirt, or something, and life is good. And that's my pleasure, that's my happiness in life. It's so sad. It's such a very, very unfortunate thing. So Srila Prabhupada, his movement was a little different. This is something, I'm mentioning something which you're not so familiar with. Maybe some of you are becoming a little familiar. Some of you been to America before, or Europe? Okay. So in America, we have a lot of born-again Christians. And they're very fanatical and very, very pushy people, and they preach. And their idea of preaching is that you are a disgusting, terrible person. But you're very lucky to meet me. I'm going to bless you. You can have my ashirvad. And it's really not a very nice exchange. That's the concept, the Western concept, more or less, of preaching. But in India, there's a different kind of conception with the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we feel genuine compassion in our hearts. Or maybe we don't feel compassion. Maybe we don't feel very much at all. Because we're just, our hearts are like stone. And all we've been doing with our life is just being a good consumer and trying to eat and drink and just think of my own senses. So we need to wake up. What is the best process for us to wake up? If we can feel compassion for other persons, if we can help them, if we can give our life to help other people, then good things will come to us. And this is really Vedic culture. I've talked to older people. You must know your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you spoke to also. It used to be, I've heard, practically every street in a village, they would have one, in English we'd call it a trough, one long like bucket type of thing. And they put vegetable scraps and things there for the cows. And another one for water for the cows. And everybody takes care of the cows. And if there's someone who needs something, they give them some chapatis, they give them some sabji or something. There was no need from the government giving this and that. People took care of themselves in the villages because they had some compassion. One devotee I know, he grew up in Rajasthan, and he told me that in his family, every morning his mother would get up and she would take some dahi that she made overnight, and she would churn it by hand in the makkhan. And she would take that makkhan, some of the makkhan, and some mishri, and put it in a little bowl by her son's bed. So when he would wake up, he'd have some nice makkhan and mishri. And he said that every day, they would give rotis to the dogs, and rotis to the cows, and they would give some flour to the ants, and they would feed the birds, they would feed everyone, because they had some compassion. This is real culture. This is Vedic culture. Because by nature, we're all very, very selfish. And what happens in a consumer culture like we have today, we become extremely selfish and extremely envious and extremely depressed. Do you know, you could tell me probably better, I think that the Gurgaon is one of the wealthiest places in India, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know the statistic about that, but I know one statistic that I read about Gurgaon. Gurgaon has the highest rate of suicide in all of India. So it may have so much money, but there's not happiness here. And what is the value of the money? I'm a slave to that money. I'm a slave to that little plastic card. Let's capture our lives. That's not such an easy thing, is it? I can say that. You say, Prabhu, I have to work my job. I have to take care of my family. I have to pay for my car so that I can go to work, get money to pay for my clothes, my house that I never live in. Right? I'm trapped in this kind of way. We're trapped by our previous karma. What can we do? But we should do something. And that begins by hearing and chanting and making our own lives perfect. And then we should go out and try to give that to other people. And Srila Prabhupada, he encouraged that. We have this month is a big month, I know. There's so many places where devotees go out and they distribute Bhagavad Gita's and different books. And we can look at this in different ways. We can think, oh, this is a big institutional thing the temples are doing so they can make money. And then you have some brahmachari fellow who's the big distributor and he gets a garland and some mahaprasad or even claps. And it seems like an institutional kind of function. We might think like that. Don't see like that. We should see that this is a yajna. A yajna means a sacrifice. Sacrifice means I give up some of my personal comfort to try to think of other people, to try to stop being so selfish, at least for a few minutes a day, and try to think about other persons. Try to think, this girl's not just a body. She's a spirit soul. Everyone is a spirit soul, and I should respect them. I should give them love and affection, and let me give them this Bhagavad Gita. In a mood of friendship and kindness, let me share that with them. But to do that, we have to be nourished ourselves. In the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 25, is a very beautiful description of the nature of Krishna Lila and Guru Lila. I'll sing this, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Chaitanya Mita Pur Krishna Lila Sukarpur Dure Nili Hare Suma Dure Jambo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sadhu Guru Prasade, Kahaje Ashwade, Sei Jane Madhurya Prachurya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Such a nice thing. Can you understand what I'm saying? I don't pronounce things very nice. And you may not understand so much Bengali, but it's so similar to Hindi. Chaitanya Lila Amrita Pur. Krishna Lila Sukarpur. You know, Karpur is a Sukarpur. That Chaitanya Lila is just like Amrit. And Krishna Lila is like very nice camphor, Karpur. Duhe Mili Hoy Sumadurja. And if you mix these two together, it tastes so very, very nice. Sadhu Guru Prasade Tahaje Asvade Sejane Madhuja Prachur. By the Prasad, by the mercy of Sadhu Guru, Tahaje Asvade, we can taste that nectar. Sejane Madhuja Prachur. Anyone who tastes that, they can understand what is the nature, the nectar of this sweet thing, this Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila. Jai Lila Amrita Vine Kaya Jani Anapane Tabe Bhakti Radha Bala Jivan Bolo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Jada Eka Bindu Pane Upalita Tanu Pane Hase Gaya Koda Yena Jambo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Jai Lila Amrita Bine, Bine, if you don't take this Amrit, this nectar of this Leela of Krishna and Gaura, Kaya Jadi Anapane, if you only eat ordinary food, or you might eat extraordinary food, I only eat Italian pizza. But still, if all that you eat is pizza or ordinary grains, rice, or rotis, whatever. He says that Tavi Bhaktira Durbala Jiva. He says that someone, they become very, very weak. Their bhakti becomes weak. If all that you do, I go out to the restaurants. What's the value of your restaurant? Well, you're eating something from someone who doesn't, you don't even know. They don't care anything about you. And sometimes, Hare Krishna, sometimes the people spit in the food before they give it to you, or they're very unclean when they're cooking it, and who knows what they're thinking about when they're cooking it. It's not like something cooked with love by your mother or by some sadhu getting some mahaprasad from the temple. That's Vedic culture. Now we have a restaurant culture. And what does it do to our minds? So we become very weak, Durbala Jiva. But Jada Eka Bindu Pani, if you just take one drop, Utvalita Tanumani, of this nectar of Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela, then Hase Gaya Korye Nartan, then you become a mad person. Hase, you start laughing, and chanting, singing, and dancing, jumping up and down. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Srila Prabhupada wanted this. This is our purpose. We should taste this thing. If we don't taste this thing, you may go out and sell people books and do something. You may have a business selling rasgullas. And you tell people, first class rasgullas, you buy them. And the people say, how do they taste? And you say, I don't know. I've never had one, but they're good. You should give me 5 rupees, 10 rupees for this rasgulla. Why will I buy from you, Baba? You're not even tasting it. You don't know what it's like. How can we go and speak to people about Krishna if we don't know Krishna? How can we tell them, yes, read this book and you'll be happy? Everybody who practices, they're very happy. And then you go to the temple and you see all the devotees are having big quarrels. And the grihastha couples are getting divorced. What is this? This isn't work. What's the value of just telling them about a book if you don't live the book? If we want to distribute these books, if we want to give people Krishna, if we want to create a revolution in the world, we have to begin by creating a revolution in our lives and living the book so that when people see us, they become so excited. This is so nice. Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture in Vrindavan, here, the 22nd of October, 1972, is one of my favorite lectures. Prabhupada said there, this Shraddha has to be increased, faith. Then when you come to the point of Vasudev Kata Ruchi, that's the beginning of our perfection. That's just the beginning, when you get that Ruchi. If we don't have that Ruchi, that taste, we only have Ruchi for girls or boys or movies or shopping. That's all we have Ruchi for. We haven't begun our Krishna consciousness. We're just doing something religious. It's nice. You're a very pious person, but maybe you're just like that scorpion, the politician, who acts like a good person. And there's so many people who come, honestly, and they put on dhoti and kurta, sari, and they tilak and kunti mala, and they look very pious. But if they don't have a taste, if they're not actually living something, then they may be like that scorpion and living a lie and doing some bad thing. Behind the scenes, it happens. Of course it happens. This is a material world. Prabhupada goes on. He says, at the present moment, Prabhupada was speaking to so many of his leading preachers. He said, at the present moment, there's no ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons, but they have no ruchi. They have no taste. They've lost all taste. Vasudev Kata Ruchi. There are two faults. Either people could not preach properly, so they could not create taste in people in general. That's the first thing. Because really, preaching means, not that you change them from Christian to Hindu, or Hindu to Christian, or Muslim or something. What is that? But it means you give them some ruchi, some taste, some happiness. So Prabhupada said, it's not... First of all, their fault is they can't create taste in the people in general. He said it's not the fault of the people in general. It's the fault of the so-called preachers. Because they could not create taste. What does it mean if you can't create taste? Listen to what Prabhupada told them. Very heavy thing. He said because they could not create taste, they wanted to take the place of Krishna. That was their purpose. Imitation Krishna, imitation God, that will not do. You have to create taste, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And you may think, that's very strong words. I don't want to imitate Krishna. But is it true? Maybe in a subtle way, I do want to imitate Krishna. And even with my so-called preaching, because I want to be a big person, I want to be recognized. Take this book. Give me some money so that I can be the number one person in this thing. I'm not caring about that person. I'm not trying to give them something with love and affection. I'm not trying to give them some happiness. I'm trying to take from them. That's Krishna's business. Everyone should give to Krishna. I want to be like Krishna. And that won't do. We have to create taste. My Guru Maharaj used to say, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mukodgirna. Mukodgirna, Udgirna. His kirtan is like that. Udgirna in Bengali means like a volcano exploding, coming out of his mouth. And there's another word he used, I think it's also in Hindi, Udgada. Udgada? Mataji knows. Udgada means to vomit. When do you vomit? You vomit when your belly is full. When you've eaten so much, that's when you vomit. And what do you vomit? You vomit what's inside. And when you vomit, then by the smell, we can tell what you've been eating. Oh, he's been eating nice rasgullas. Or he's been eating some dead body, some nasty, nasty thing like that. So this is preaching. We should fill our bellies completely. And then udgara, We vomit. And whatever we've been eating, that comes out. Chaitanya Lila Amrita Pur, Krishna Lila Sukhar Pur. We should eat these two things. This is the purpose of our movement. The devotees are not meant just to create a business and go out and try to collect money and make buildings, make life members, and distribute these books like an encyclopedia salesman. But it's meant to be a revolution. It's meant to change the lives of unfortunate people. People need this. But we have to eat this first. We have to taste this. We have to fill our belly. And then we can change people. Then it'll touch the hearts of people. This is a nice time of the year. In our movement, we're doing a great yajna. And the devotees are going out and they're trying. Maybe you don't have time to go out on the street, but at least you take one Bhagavad Gita to work with you or something, and you try to give it to someone. It's a yajna, it's a sacrifice. But don't just do it so you're making some money or because it's the institution thing to do, but do it because people are suffering. Do it because you know that book, you've been reading that book. That book has helped you. You're living that book. And you want to share that with other people with great love and great happiness. We should taste. And then people will be attracted by that. There's a story of one Mayavadi Shankar Sannyasi who was in Benares. And he'd gone from Kutichak to Bahudak to Parivajak. And he was on the level of Paramahamsa. He'd been studying Vedanta Sutra, all different Upanishads and things. Very dry person. He had Tripundra on his head, three lines, and some Rudraksha Mala around his neck. Very renounced person. One day, he was going through the street in Benares, and he saw a strange person. It was a sadhu. But this person wasn't walking through the street saying, Sarvam Karvidam Brahma, Soham, Aham Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi, or whatever they chant. But this person was rolling on the ground and he was crying so emotionally. He'd never seen sadhus being emotional. This sadhu was crying, and crying and crying and rolling on the ground. And that sannyasi, what kind of person is this? And that sadhu, that strange sadhu, had a very strange tilak on. There were two lines going up on his forehead. He hadn't seen tilak like that before. Urdhva Pundra. And then he lost sight of that strange person in the crowd, but he couldn't forget him. And for several days, that sannyasi was just thinking about that person. It scarred him. Seeing that the emotions of that devotee, it made a deep impression on that sannyasi's heart. And he started asking people, have you seen someone like this? Two lines going up, and he had some beads around his neck. He was calling out, Ha Gauranga Nityananda, what is this? And they said, oh, those are the Hare Krishna people. And they live in Navadvipa. And so that sannyasi, he went to Mayapur. And he became a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And no one preached to him. No one convinced him. No one argued with him. No one tricked him. But he just saw the ecstasy, the happiness of that devotee. I've experienced this. Once we took Sachinandan Maharaj on Parikrama and Jagannath Puri. And a few devotees, there was about five of us, five or six, a small group of devotees. And Sachinandan Maharaj was leading a wonderful kirtan. And we were going down and we came near the Govardhan Mutt in Puri. Now Govardhan Mutt is the mutt established by Shankaracharya. And there were two sadhus standing at the gate there. And just like this sannyasi I was telling you about, they had their Tripundra and their Rudraksha beads. And they were very dry. And they saw, all of a sudden, these Bideshi Westerners coming and jumping up and down. And we were so happy. It was so wonderful, the kirtan. And they were looking. They were just confused. They hadn't seen anything like that before. And Sachinandan Maharaj said, come, come. And so they came with us. And it was so funny, like out of a movie. As they were going with us, they were kind of trying to dance, but they were so stiff, they couldn't really dance. And then after some time, they tried to chant, Hare Krishna. But they couldn't even say the words very nicely. But those two Mayavadi persons, they stayed with us for about an hour when we were going through the streets of Jagannath Puri and chanting. At the end of the hour, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. They were chanting and jumping up and down, and they were so very, very happy. This is what we need in the world today. We don't need just institutions. That wasn't Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Don't become fooled just by the buildings and the money and the number of books and the number of people and life members and this thing. Those things are all good, but they're all meant to serve a greater purpose, to help people, to give them something substantial. But if all we do is just pay attention to the buildings and the money and things, then we become like everyone else. We become like all the other religions in the world. We become asar, useless. We should keep Krishna in the center, keep Srila Prabhupada in the center, and devotees become so powerful, they can do amazing things. I'll tell you one last story. It's a true story. There were a group of brahmacharis in America, Vidashi Americans, and they were traveling. I used to do this too, in a van. And they were distributing books all day. That's what we used to do for many years in America. And they would spend the night, they'd sleep inside of their van. They had a modal, big van. And in the morning, we used to keep buckets of water and we'd pour them over ourselves outside, take our bath like that, and then have our mangal arti, you can chant our japa and things. So they'd worked hard all day. We took rest, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock. About 1 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, we said, listen, there was a big bam, 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 beating sound on the side of the van. And the devotees woke up and there's lights pointing inside. And they opened the door and come out, it's the police. And they come out, and literally, I said, there was about 30 police cars. All of them had their lights on the devotees' van, and all the police had their guns pointed at the devotees. And these devotees come out just wearing gumshoes, which is not a very common dress in America. They come out in these gumshoes, and the police are a little surprised, and the police say, what are you doing? They're just waking them up, and the devotee's thinking, this must be a dream. This is so surreal. He said, well, sir, we're distributing love of God. What do you mean? We have these books. And he pulled out a Bhagavad Gita. Let me see. And he pulled out a Bhagavad Gita and gave it to the policeman. And all the policemen had their guns pulling him like this. And that policeman was looking at the book and turned over the back. And he looked back at the devotees and shook his head and kind of smiled and he said, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees thinking, this is definitely a dream. And then the policeman, he turned to the other policeman, said, they're okay, you guys. This book is a really good book. You guys should all take this book. And they sold like 30 copies of the Bhagavad Gita right there. And the policeman told him, he said, when I was going to the university, when I was growing up, I was going to Gainesville, California, and you people, you Hare Krishna people, you were giving me prasadam every day. And I got these books, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And they told them that this night, some dacoits, some very bad people, went to a gun shop. And they broke into the gun shop and they took so many guns. And their vehicle looked just like your vehicle. So that's why all the police came with their guns out like this. But see what happened. And it wasn't because the devotee was a big, big person. It's not because I'm so special that I can do this or that, but we're trying. We're very unfortunate. We're very miserable. I'm no better than anybody else. And I'm saying all these harsh things about Gurgaon and people here. I'm no better. Maybe I'm wearing a dhoti and a kurta, I have some tilak on, but I'm also suffering. I also have all these desires and all these miseries and things. But there's one difference. And that difference is I have an instruction from my Guru Maharaj. I have an instruction from Srila Prabhupada. And although I may be a very unfortunate person, and I am, I know better than anybody else, but I have this order. And even though I'm very bad, I'm going to try to do this. We're going to try to speak to people about Krishna, even though they don't want to hear it sometimes. We'll try to give them these books, even though they may try to bite us. There was a man I heard about. He specialized in taking care of dogs that the police wanted to kill. He lived in Los Angeles, and sometimes there are dogs, wild dogs on the street. They have these pit bull dogs, very ferocious kind of dog. And sometimes those dogs attack people. Sometimes they kill children. And then the police get that dog and they want to kill the dog. So that man, he said, no, don't kill the dog. Give the dogs to me. And so he was keeping many dogs. And he was taking care of those dogs. And he found a way to change the hearts of those dogs. But he said when he was doing it, he used to get bit so many times. The police bring those dogs, and he would try to give some love and affection to the dog. But the dog was raised its whole life with people kicking it, people beating it, hating it, and the dog didn't like people. So when the man would try to reach down, the dog would bite him. And he was used to that. The dog's going to bite me. I know that. And every dog would bite him so many times. Some dogs he couldn't change.
Somebody's dog is there,
level 7? Three, two. So, but he said that although those dogs may bite me in the beginning, if I continue to give love to them and I just tolerate them, I tolerate the fact that they just bit me. I don't hit them, I don't kill them or anything. I just tolerate that. I found I can change their hearts. And they become very happy, very loving dogs after some time. So that this is what it's like when devotees are going out and trying to give people Krishna consciousness sometimes and people bite us. Once I was distributing a book at a Department of Motor Vehicles in Los Angeles. And I was standing, I was talking to some nice person, Shrine of Bhagavad Gita, we were talking. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw something. It was a fist coming. Bam! And someone punched me and knocked me down on the ground. I'd never met him before. I'd never talked to him, didn't even see him. Some man just saw what I was doing and became so angry. And he just came up from behind me and just, bam, punched me. So I was such a fanatic. I landed on the ground and I thought, anyway, I'm not going to stop. And so I immediately got up and I turned and the first person I saw, I said, please take this book, sir. And I gave it to the first person. We have to tolerate. Because I'm not any better than them. But I'm trying to do this as a service to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so pleased by this. I'm not qualified to be a preacher. My God, that's a big, big thing. But I want to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I want to help in this revolution. I want some mercy myself. I want to be able to see people as persons. I want to see them as spirit souls, not just a hot babe or a hunk or a rich person or a poor person who I think is disgusting or something. I want to really be able to give respect to everyone and care for them. And this activity is such a powerful, powerful activity of doing that. Because when you go out there and you try to give someone a book, it's a little frightening. You don't know what they're going to say. They may punch you like that person did with me. To do that, we're forced. We have to depend on Krishna. We're forced. We have to try to see this person as a spirit soul. We're putting ourselves in that situation. Very difficult situation. But that situation, Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to do that. There are many Gaudiya Vaishnavas who stay at Radhakund and other places who are Babaji's. They're great souls. We love them, we respect them, they're chanting. But they can't understand this activity of preaching, of trying to help people, giving them books and things. And they have their system of making advances. They stay in one place and chant. But we, it's so difficult to do that. How many of us can do that? But we, if we do a little bit of this book distribution, if we give Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita to people, people who are suffering, then all of a sudden we're on the fast track. It's like you change gears in your car. You're going first gear along 5 kilometers an hour. All of a sudden you put it in fourth gear and you're going 150 kilometers an hour. Our spiritual life takes off. And then we develop tolerance. We have to tolerate when people abuse us. We develop compassion. We develop so much depth in so many different ways. And Srila Prabhupada saw this. And this is book distribution. This is his preaching movement. He saw the devotees are not qualified for this. But let me push them into this thing. And by doing this activity, they're going to get tremendous amounts of mercy. And we're going to create a revolution, at least in my life. And if the revolution begins here, then it may also come elsewhere. This world really, really needs this so badly. So I just want to encourage you, please, try this marathon, the Prabhupada marathon, they call it, right? Take a few books, put it in your purse, put it in your pocket, in your bag or something. Take it to work with you, and you don't know. And one thing about book distribution, show the book. Maybe you're shy. I don't like to talk to people. That's okay. Take the book. You have an office job, maybe. You put 3 or 4 books. Just put them on your desk where everybody can see them. You just do that much. If people can see it, you go to lunch. You're sitting in a restaurant or wherever you are. Put a few books there just so people can see them. Or just walk with a book, a few books under your arm or something. Just have them there. And see, sometimes people will come up to you and they'll say something. The first principle is we have to have the book, keep it with us. Second principle, we should try to show the book. And the most important principle, we should live the book. Because people don't buy books just, oh, that's such a nice book. Yeah, I'd like that. They might do that. But they buy the book, really what they're doing, they're buying you. When they see that this person is so happy, this person is so blissful, I just punched this person, and he's jumping up with a smile and forgiving me. What's your secret? Where did you learn this? I'd like one of those books also. So please, try this thing. We'll stop there. I wonder if any of you have any comments or reflections about this. See, this is Vaishnav culture. We don't have... We don't have lectures like in the university. We're not giving sermons like in the church. But the Bhagavatam says paraspara. Is paraspara a Hindi word also? It's a Bengali word. Do you know this word, paraspara? Paraspara in Bengali, in Sanskrit, means to have an exchange. Paraspara anukatanam bhavanam bhagavadyasa. So that's what really our program is about. So I'd like if you can also exchange something, share something with me. If there's something you like that we said today, you can share that with us right now, or with some realization you got, or some other idea. Krishna, come.
It's a very simple thing that you said. I heard it in many times for instructions for sure. transport or even destruction will also be planned. And by death, slowly, the heart is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the instruction. And I also really like what you said about this solution being done, not because this is the institution of people who, but because we actually have some compassion, we actually recognize that people are suffering. But we are only able to recognize that when we taste a little bit of Krishna consciousness, when we taste a little bit of the religion of our past.
Vaisheshika, we used to say that preaching means you're pouring milk in a cup, and you fill the cup, and you keep pouring, and you keep pouring, and the milk starts flowing out of the cup. That's our preaching.
Mm-hmm.
We should fill our cup completely. We should chant very nicely. Very nice japa. Read very nicely Prabhupada's books. Say some prayers from our heart. Beg for blessings from Thakurji, from Gurudev, from sadhus. And then when our cup is overflowing with happiness, we go out. We did it. Thank you, Krishna Kumar. Anybody else have any reflections and thoughts, realizations?
You're
called. Kiran
Shula. It is not that we are showering our mercy and blessing on others. There's only difference between them and us. If we've got with our mercy, they haven't got mercy. To go in the mood of humility, not in a way of that I'm somehow enlightening them, or I'm benefiting from this. Us who are doing to this, like you said, that the Yajna we're doing and that our family we're doing, it's for our own purification.
I found, both Krishna Kumar and I have done a lot of book distribution, that's how I grew up in this one. And I found the best way to give people books is that you should love them. And you should appreciate them. And it's such a wonderful exercise. You become so happy. You're doing this exercise, you're going out all day long and trying to see something good in everybody.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one example. I used to sell books sometimes at LAX Airport. Sometimes it's quite intense. You have these born-again Christians who hate the devotees, who hate the Hare Krishnas, and they want to come and disturb your sales, the books. So after some time doing book distribution, you could recognize those people. They always had the same kind of behavior. They come up to you a little bit nervous. First of all, nobody walks up to you in America like that, very rarely, when you're distributing books. They walk up to you and they look a little bit nervous, like because they think you're a cult member or something. Right? A little bit nervous, and they come up to you like that and they say, "Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard the Bible or something?" And I found over the years that really what they wanted to do, they wanted to make me angry. They wanted to make me waste my time. And they would take hours. You could lose 3 or 4 hours of time arguing with some person, sometimes even get in a fight with them or something terrible. And you just completely waste your time and you feel so frustrated and angry afterwards. It's just terrible. So I discovered after some time how to deal with them. When they would come up like that, kind of a little nervous and say, "Have you heard about Jesus?" I would put a big smile on my face. I'd say, are you a Christian? And they'd always do the same thing. And back up a little bit, yeah, like that. And I said, "Really? I've been out here all day long. I've met so many atheists and so many nasty people." And I would grab them by both arms and say, "I'm so happy to meet a man of God. It's so good to meet a good person out here. Let me give you something." They won't take a book, but I would have some prasad and flowers with something in my pocket. I would give them a flower. And the same thing happened every time I did this. Sometimes it would happen 2 or 3 times a day. But they'd take the flower, and it would look like they would just look really confused. Like something kind of short-circuited in their brain or something. And they'd just turn around and walk away and leave me alone. And I felt so happy because I really felt good about them. I praised them. I saw something good in them. Even though that person was acting in a very demoniac way, wanting to come and disturb me, but I saw something genuinely good in them. They were brave enough to go up to some Hare Krishna devotee and try to speak with their understanding about God. That's good. How many people are doing that? I should appreciate that. And by seeing some good in them, it touches their heart. I don't know what they're thinking after that, but I'm sure they those Hare Krishna people are not so bad. They're a little bit like that, isn't it? So the preaching means that. It means going out and actively trying to see something good in every person. I remember when we were in the airport like that, the businessmen were coming through. They were the most difficult. In their suits and ties, very big persons, very proud, very, very difficult, very angry. And then you try to stop, you know, they just like, but I learned after some time to see them in a different way. This person's better than me. He may be an angry person, he may be a materialistic person, but he's more expert than me. I'm not very good at making money. I'm not very good at organizing things, but this man's very expert. I should respect that. And whatever person we meet, we try to find some quality in them that I don't have. We can honestly think, they're better than me. In this way or that way, some way, something about them is better than me. And I can really genuinely give them respect. And if we do like that, people, they love you. And that's really what it means to help give people Krishna consciousness. Very nice comment. Thank you. Puruji?
One thing which I've shared when I've done book distribution is that when people look through you as if you don't exist, that really shows you who you are. I've done this many times. People actually look as if you don't exist. It's like they could actually be looking at a glass, you know, whatever door or something, and it's like you don't exist for them. And that actually teaches you the humility. And then when you pray to Prabhupada that make me an instrument to distribute this mercy, you actually realize that you're just an instrument and nothing more. Because the minute we think I'm selling this book, I am the one doing it, the book distribution stops. But the minute we pray to Prabhupada, then the flow begins again.
In Bengali, we call it Amrita Tarangini, or the flow of nectar.
I mean, the pride just goes flying out of the window and it just deflates you in a second and it brings you down to earth. You know, that when we think about, oh, I have this quality, and so we say, no, the prince looks for you.
Very nice comment, thank you. It's such a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you go out and do book distribution, all of a sudden you start getting so many realizations. Mm-hmm. As Prabhupada was saying, it's not for them, it's for me. It's a benefit for me. Anything else from anybody? Any thoughts?
The class are very much excited for book distribution. And it gives practical solutions for many problems when we go. When we had to do for book distribution, because we tested a solution for practical problems. Sometimes we hesitate, we said the book will be also really motivating.
And when I think of Gopal Krishna Maharaj, the devotees here in Delhi, and what they're doing, it's a really, really wonderful thing. One devotee is a wonderful saint. You know, if nobody abuses us, if everybody treats me nice, how will I ever learn to be tolerant? How will I ever gain any depth in my character? And so when we go out and we do this thing, and people look, they won't even look at us, they treat me like I'm not even there, that's very hateful. It hurts my feelings. But then I learn, I get some depth in my character. I learned to tolerate something. And without learning to tolerate, how can I make advancement? Such a good thing. So please, all of you, please try to do something. Maybe you just do one book the whole time, one book a day, or whatever. Try to set some goal also. That's a good thing. You know, I'm going to try to distribute so many books every day or something. And the idea is not just a number. We're not just a mechanical thing, but that helps us. It helps us to inspire us. Helps us to get going. The Prabhupada wanted devotees to do more and more. But don't just mechanically do it. Do it with affection and love, like we're talking about. So it's a real life-changing experience for someone when they get that book. Okay? Anything else?
And one should not have bias because I think I once had someone, an Iraqi Muslim, coming to me and he actually took those books.
Uh-huh.
So that was really nice. He was like, what's a discount? I was like, sorry, no discount for this, but he actually took 5 books. That's 10 of them.
5 books? Wow.
10 ones.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And he said he'll come for Janmashtami, and I was looking out for him. I was like, I just wish this guy comes, but I couldn't see him. There were 1,000, maybe he did come. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really good. We've learned that when you have a nice exchange, like it's really important to try to get that person's email address or phone number or something. Because it's a very powerful thing when they meet a devotee. They get some wonderful realization. They're so excited. They have the book. But then when they leave you and they go back to their job or back to their family, all of a sudden, many times they just go back and then you forget all about that and they don't want to. Maybe they were excited for a few minutes, but they don't contact you. We can't expect them to contact us.
Yes. I just given them my number. They had taken my number. They called me about the 3 months. Two months after.
Thank goodness. We're happy they called you.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful thing. As some of you said, we're not, Giridesh was saying, we're not the givers of blessings. We're just a pipe, we're just an instrument. But to become Prabhupada's instrument, become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instrument. And it's not an easy thing. But maybe I can just do it for 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, or one day. It's a yajna, it's sacrifice. I sacrifice some of my personal time and do a little difficulty. And we get some blessing from that.
Actually, for me, my very favorite thing about book distribution was the fact that you really have to be constantly praying and constantly dependent on Prabhupada's mercy. it's the connection, and then you see how they help, and you see them manifesting people and what they say to you, and it's really amazing.
And who's qualified? I'll tell you another personal story, a little embarrassing. I was a caveman before I joined. I was living in a cave, literally, in a place called Mount Lemmon in Arizona. Remote place, because I didn't like people and I liked the wilderness and I wanted to be a sadhu. So I was living in this cave and I was trying to chant Hare Krishna. I met the devotees. I was chanting japa. And I have to tell you, it was very boring. In the cave there by myself. Right. So after some time, I just said, I really want to meet the devotees. Mm-hmm. And so I went down to the nearest town There's no temple there, I knew that. But I met some person on the street and I told him those Hare Krishna people are so nice, I really like them. And he said, you just missed them. They were at the university yesterday, but they've left. I said, oh, that's very sad. He said, but there's a free sitar concert tonight at the university, you should go. So yes, so I went to the university and I saw the devotees. The devotees were there, they had a festival of India and they were undercover, they had hats on. You know, wearing Western clothes because they couldn't legally be Hare Krishnas doing that. And they had some displays about reincarnation and vegetarianism. They were distributing prasadam. And I walked up to them. I said, I know who you guys are. And I was a caveman. I was living in a cave. I had long hair. I was very dirty, like this. And what was the first thing they did? One of the devotees, his name is Charu Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple. He gave me a big box of books, Bhagavad Gita, and he said, here, go distribute these. That was like my first exchange with the devotees, practically. Okay? So, I don't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. I didn't know anything about anything. They told me, go to Shivati's. You may say, but if we do that, he might say something wrong. No. It's not that he might say something wrong. He's definitely going to say something wrong. Of course he'll say something wrong. But still, people are going to get benefit. It's an emergency. Our mood should be like that. We don't want to just distribute one book. We should go to people's door and say, sir, the whole building is on fire. Please take this case of books. Hi, by the way, my name is. And please take this case of books and go distribute these to all your friends. It should be such an emergency like that. And I did. I went and I walked up to people and said, here, there's this book. Take this. I didn't know what to say.
That's just the way we used to do it. I did it. Same thing happened to me. There was no temple, actually. It was still illegal in Hungary at that time, Krishna consciousness. Somebody was kind of doing something on the street, walking up and down the street because she couldn't really stay in one place with a bunch of coming backs. And she just gave me 10. I purchased one and she gave me another 10. She said, please help me distribute this. There was no temple, there was no chanting, there was no nothing.
At that time, it was illegal in Hungary where she was at. If the police would catch you, they'd put you in jail or something, right?
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know.
But it was against
the law. It wasn't so bad anymore. It was close to it. Perestroika was coming.
Okay.
So we talked a lot of things about nourishment today. And you quoted this wonderful verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Lila, Amrit Pur, Krishna Lila, Sukhar Pur. So there is one person who really likes to be nourished. In fact, he likes to be nourished so much and he's so hungry after 7 days of not being nourished at all because he was holding up Govardhan Hill that the Vijvasas decided that they're going to offer a chapan bhog to him. So this person is Giridhari and he's holding up Giriraj Govardhan. And we just made a magazine about this Giriraj Govardhan. This is a Shri Krishna Bhattamrita magazine. It's coming out whenever
she's
it's ready.
She's done a book distribution.
And you should get the whole case, each one of you, and distribute it. Anyways, we just finished this magazine. It's still in the press. These are some advanced copies. And if you want, you can have a look at it. It's 128 pages, and it's all wonderful lilas. Of Giriraj Govardhan, about Gunja Mala, about caves on Govardhan Hill, different things from our acharyas, different things from our wonderful ISKCON devotees who have some meditations on Giriraj, who shared some things, Mother Javatarini, Indra Yunaswami, Giriraj Maharaj, so many wonderful Vaishnavas, an article about trees of Govardhan, an article from our Gurudev about Giriraj Govardhan. Who is Giriraj? Is he Krishna? Is he Krishna's best servant? The gopis say one thing, some other devotees say another thing. Who is right? Are we walking on Govardhan or not walking on Govardhan? So many topics. And it's all in that magazine. We have a few advanced copies, and if you like, you can have them.
We are a wonderful book. We just saw when you came in the book. It's a wonderful book. And you see the books are. They are like gems, and I was telling him with the content of just the content of a book, it's like pressure writer. So I would request all of you, we just have few advanced copies before the printing. They are all of
it's
you can buy one of them if you can. It will be in the nourishing the land of our life. Any of us we go to Govardhan, we do Viraj, Shri Karma, we still do not understand who is he. The Prabhuji, all this devotion, love for Viraj, has brought this wonderful issue and a very, very wonderful, nice print, takes a copy. And many of them, you know, you will see that after a few years, they go off screen because they are not printing anymore. So, you know, all of you are interested. Please buy one of these copies.
This is why we wanted to come here tonight, That's why we all came here tonight. Isn't it? Everybody loves Giriraj. Don't we all love Giriraj? Giriraj Das?
What is the price of the book? It's
300.
It's 300.
This book, this magazine book, whatever it is, how many years have you been working on this, honestly?
About 25 years, thinking about it.
So much research. I mean, it's not like 25 years continuously, but so much research and so much thought on
even last
how
year,
to present
this. Last year, we discussed the topic, and I asked him after a few weeks, what happened, because if the idea is coming, but it's not, it was supposed to come. But please, all of you, please take this book. It's a wonderful book. Mm-hmm. And these are...
But don't just take it.
And read it.
Read it.
And read it.
And then speak it.